Last week, Jesus spoke to the disciples about the need to pray always. And he gave that beautiful story of the widow seeking justice from the evil judge, the uncaring, unconcerned judge. And now he is telling them that they must be humble and not to think of themselves as the one that's important, their own righteousness. And really, in both of these, for that to take place, really the first thing that has to happen is we have to believe that God is present in our life, that there is a God, that God has a role to play, that God is present and our life is dependent on God. Otherwise, why pray always if there's nobody there? So now he's talking about this, you know, not being self-righteous. And he gives this example, which we've heard many times, of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And reality, when he first says they were two that are going up to the temple, we might have thought, if we were, you know, Jews living in his day, that the Pharisee would have been really great and the tax collector would have been pretty pathetic. And maybe people who heard it, you know, depending on their state in life or what their role was, probably thought, hey, yeah, that guy was pretty good. That Pharisee, pretty good. I say the same thing. And the Pharisee, actually, his prayer begins pretty good. Oh God, I thank you. That's a pretty good way to begin a prayer. But then, after that, we dismiss God and we go on to just talking about ourselves. Because that I am not like the rest of humanity. They are unique, completely different. They have a over grand opinion of themselves and a very bad opinion of everyone else. But the whole of the prayer then is about them and what they do. Their fasting, their tithing, and how bad everyone else is, only seeing the negative of them, their greediness, their dishonesty, their adulterousness. This is somebody who supposedly knows the law, the prophets, the writings, understands the patriarchs, lives, you know, the different requirements of the law. And in a sense, they are, this Pharisee does do some good things. Fasting is a good thing. Fasting twice a week is a good thing. Paying tithes is a good thing. Going to the temple is a good thing. But he relies on himself. It is all about himself. The tax collector, and it's not clear if this tax collector is a believer or a non-believer, but the fact that they're in the temple, maybe they are a believer. But they are despised. We know the tax collectors were not well liked because they worked for, in the days of Jesus, they worked for the Roman government. So they were the enemy. And is not expected that they would necessarily know what to do. Perhaps they don't really know. This one doesn't really know the law and the prophets and the patriarchs and so forth. And their prayer is much better because it begins with God and really ends with God. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So they recognize their need for God. And it is not as if this story is about the evil tax collector and the evil Pharisee and the great tax collector. It is really more about the recognition of our need for God. Again, we don't know what kind of life the tax collector lived, but God can justify the ungodly, the terrible, the evil, by touching their hearts if they let him in to their lives. And so this tax collector, as Jesus says, went home justified, changed, transformed, that they are connected to God, whereas the Pharisee went home empty. And it is, as Jesus says, that it is we are to humble ourselves before God. It's not, we cannot do a whole lot of works to get into heaven. And this is one of St. Paul's great themes. You know, we are not justified by works. Although works are important, we are justified by God. And the works that we do are to be done out of love. Love for God and love for neighbor. And that is really what Jesus is asking of us. Because ultimately in our prayer life, we must begin with humility and repentance. The tax collector is repenting of what he has done wrong. The Pharisee is not. He is putting himself above everyone else. But as we first, you know, God calls us to repentance. God gives us the grace to repent. And then God gives us the grace to justify us. As St. Paul says, it's all grace. God working in our lives, and we cooperate with that grace. And as we repent, then we are able to move to the next level in our spiritual life, which is to love God and to love neighbor. And from there, we can move to the highest levels of our spiritual life, which is to seek, as St. Augustine says, the one thing which is necessary, which is to seek heaven, eternal life, to be with God. And so in our spiritual life, as we, part of that repentance is to recognize our need for God, but also to recognize our need to do God's will, not our will, to keep God as number one and not ourselves. And as we look at God's will in our life, we can see where we have failed. And it is there that we need to repent. As we resist God's will or we choose our own, we will commit sin because we will be fighting against God. We will be choosing what we want and not what God wants. And we will not recognize the gifts that God wants to give us. And in this decade of prayer, we've been, you know, praying for people with all, in a special way, for people with all kinds of mental illnesses, which has a whole range of things, from St. Luke to St. Jude. And St. Luke and St. Jude remind us that God heals us. St. Luke, a physician. God, Jesus, is the eternal divine physician to heal our souls, that we can carry our cross, whatever it may be, including these various mental illnesses, but also different tragedies in our life, sicknesses and deaths and, you know, losses of jobs and everything else. And Jude reminds us that we always have hope, that as long as God is in our life, that we have hope that God can overcome. Just as last week we heard that that persistence of that widow, God rewarded her persistence. God rewards our hope as well. And so we are reminded today that we are always to be humble before the Lord, because God is God and we are not. We need his grace for that. And he provides it in these various ways of his word and his sacraments, and especially the sacrament of his body and blood, sign of his love for us, the sacrament of confession, in which we humble ourselves before the Lord and receive that grace to be always humble and to take up our cross as the Lord did, to meditate upon his cross, to follow him in our lives, and to trust that he will heal us, whatever needs to be healed, especially the spiritual things, and that he promises a great hope, which gives us the courage to take up our cross and follow. And as he said at our baptism, those who deny themselves, take up their cross and follow, will have eternal life.